I'd heard predicted or seen. Definitely a surprise, and you could hear it in the crowd's reaction after they were finished booing David Stern.
And we're going to get to that here in a minute. The question of the day today, at least for this first hour, who's the most hated commissioner in sports right now?
I just feel like you're supposed to be hated if you're the commissioner. Every commissioner...
Paul Tagliabue wasn't hated.
I guess he wasn't. I mean, I don't remember him being booed when he went up there, but every commissioner now is despised. By the people that seem to play the sport and watch the sport. I mean, all the major four.
Well, you've got Roger Goodell in the NFL. You've got Bud Selig in Major League Baseball. And then you've got David Stern in the NBA. Of those three, because those are the big three sports, who is the most hated commissioner?
You know, it's been very, very in vogue for years now to hate Bud Selig. And he's the longest serving. Well, no, David Stern's the longest serving. But for a long time, I mean, Stern was hailed as the best commissioner in major American sports.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that necessarily is the case any longer, but who's to argue? Bud Selig has always been disliked, I feel. And it goes back to the strike. It goes back to 1994. And that's something that, you know, he's done good things for the game of baseball, but you know, obviously, maybe the steroid controversy of the last 20 years might color his people's opinion of him as well. But I think the strike certainly took the top of it. And with Goodell, it's the heavy-handedness in which he's running the league. Although he's doing it in the favor of the players, he says, for their safety, it's definitely a heavy-handed approach.
If you look at, though, of those three guys, who has the most control over their league? Because if you think about it, it seems like Roger Goodell, because of what he's done as far as enforcing punishments, whether it be just a simple traffic stop, he's in the news talking about it and really trying to crack down on the image of the league. Whereas Bud Selig, I just don't like that guy. I really think that Bud Selig's one of those guys, when you look at Bud Selig, he seems like he's trying to be bigger than the league.
Well, he's an owner. I mean, he hasn't owned the Brewers for a long time, but that's his perspective. And it's the Office of the Commissioner of Baseball was never intended to be occupied by somebody who took the perspective of an owner or ever had the perspective of an owner. And regardless of whatever actions he's taken since he was the commissioner, he's the wrong person in that job, specifically because of his background.
Yeah.
With Goodell, I mean, he rules that league with an iron fist. With an absolute iron fist, and I guess, you know, he comes from a business perspective. He worked in the NFL office as an intern, you know, from the early 20s.
Yeah.
But he certainly seems to it's the Roger Goodell league. There's no doubt.
You could tell the fans were happy last night that it was going to be David Stern's last NBA draft that he was going to be hosting, because next year it's going to be a new commissioner. After 30 years of service to the NBA, David Stern is out. And you won't have to worry about him anymore. Now will be I guess, for fans, because I don't know if they were excited when Paul Tagliabue, when he left, or if they were sad when he left, because people knew of Roger Goodell because he was already working in the offices. But I think that at first people were happy about Goodell coming in, and they thought that he was going to be much similar to what Tagliabue was in the office. And then they start seeing, you know, he's going to really crack down on players and conduct. And I think that's where his image has kind of gone away.
Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, with he's in the spotlight as well with, you know, the deal with Hernandez and his decision. Well, it would have been his decision to suspend him if the Patriots didn't let him go. And I mean, he by his statement, and I don't remember the exact statement, but his statement sort of shows, you know, if the Patriots didn't do it, I would have done it.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots knew that, and they were just cutting him off at the pass.
433-1037, 1-800-477-1037. If you want to get on the action today, we are trying to rank who is the worst commissioner in sports, David Stern, Roger Goodell, or Bud Selig. That is our listener poll today. We want to get your thoughts on that as well. Also, last night, NBA draft, we talked about it, Anthony Bennett, the number one overall pick. Nerlens Noel went number six to New Orleans and then was traded to the Sixers. And really, when you look at that, that doesn't seem like it's going to be that bad of a trade, because you got Jrue Holiday coming in, and he's a heck of a player, probably one of the best point guards in the league.
Noel would not have expected to slide down to fifth, do you think?
I don't think so. Big Joe Klein joins us right now. And
morning, Joe.
Your
I'm
thoughts?
Early.
I know it. Your thoughts last night on the draft.
Big Joe Klein in the Zone is brought to you by Corky's Barbecue. Corky's full-service catering starts at just $6.25 per person. Your guests will love the food, and you'll love the price and service. Just give us a call. We'll customize a menu for you and your guests. In Little Rock, call 501-954-RIBS. And in North Little Rock, call 501-753-3737. And remember, if it ain't Corky's, it's sh**. Now, here's Big Joe Klein.
That is awesome.
That's cool. Like I said, I'm waiting. I'm coming up here. And
that was great. I love it.
That can't turn out good.
Take your career in your hands.
Okay,
every
Joe,
time.
Last night, the NBA draft. Anthony Bennett, I heard you calling the show with no name this morning. Number one overall pick from UNLV, your thoughts on him?
I mean, shocker. But, I mean, it's really not a shocker because, I mean, if you look at Cleveland's team, you know, what do they need? I mean, I think that in their perspective, I think the whole Noel thing was their owner. I mean, this is their third year in a row in the lottery.
Yeah.
So, they're, you know, for them to go to their fan base and go to their season ticket suite and all this and say, hey, we're going to take this guy. He's not going to be ready. He won't be up to speed till March,
yeah,
till after the All-Star break. And we're going to the lottery again.
Yeah.
And so that's a tough pill to keep, you know, shoving down your fan base's neck, throat, especially on a guy who's injured and a guy who weighs, you know, 210 pounds. So I think they went with the most versatile player. He's a guy that can play perimeter. He's a guy that's 260 pounds. He can bang. Probably, in my opinion, if you're talking about safe bet, he's probably the safest bet out there, in my opinion.
More than Oladipo? I kept hearing Oladipo referred to as the safest choice.
Well, if you look at Cleveland's roster, though, then now you throw in need, you know. So they have I can't name off the roster. I know they've got Tristan Thompson. They've got another. I can't think of his name, but he's a shooter. He's a guard.
But what Oladipo brought, they didn't necessarily. That wasn't
right.
Their greatest need.
Right. So I just think they went with a guy that can play perimeter, can play inside, kind of more versatile, and probably a safer bet, but. Man, I'm telling you, I think Noel's going to be good now.
He's not going to be ready for the opening part of the season, though, right?
You know, and you know what? If I'm looking at it, though, I mean, and this is a bad way to look at it, but if I'm Cleveland, I'm like, you know what? We'll go to the lottery again.
Yeah.
You know, because – and then we'll have him basically being a rookie. We'll have hopefully another top five pick with Kyrie Irving and the other pieces we've assembled. And now it's time to roll.
Well, speaking of Noel.
I don't know. I think Noel, the only, you know, the thing you talk about Noel is I kept hearing, you know, offensively, he'll get an offensive game. He's too good at an athlete to be, he'll be able to learn to make a jump hook and he'll be able to make a turnaround jump shot. But dude is an athlete. He's a shot blocking phenom. He can run up and down the floor. And he'll put on weight.
Yeah.
I mean, if all you're looking at him is saying, well, we got to get him strong, you get 30 pounds on him, which they will do. Now you got a guy at 240 blocking everything, running up and down the floor. And that's where Dwight Howard, in my opinion, I heard Shaq say it one night. He keeps talking about, you know, run plays for me. That's not my system. That's not who Dwight Howard is.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaq said it one night better than anything. He says, you know what he needs to get back to that made him a beast? Rebound the ball, beat everybody down the floor, throw the ball into me, or I get the rebound, or I block the shot, or whatever. I'm 7 feet tall. I'm the most athletic guy here, and I can beat anybody up and down the floor. And that's what Shaq was.
Yeah.
Shaq was 7'3", 300 pounds, and he'd beat everybody down the floor, and it was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And that's what Dwight Howard's gotten away from. He's all of a sudden thinks he's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, where they need to run plays for him. He's not a guy you run plays for.
Is this the kind of player that Noel can be? That
absolutely,
you think?
Absolutely. I think so.
So he's headed to the Sixers now in that holiday with in the trade for Holiday. I mean, who gets the better end of that deal? Is it the Pelicans or is it the Sixers?
That's a great question. I mean, I think you got Carter Williams. I like him too. He's long and tall and a potential point guard.
Yeah.
Now you're going to struggle next year. You know, you gave up your best player,
yeah,
Drew Holiday, but in the end, you know, that's what you got to do in the NBA. You know, unfortunately, you got to get bad to get good.
Yeah.
And very few teams can just keep it going and going and going. Sooner or later, you're going to run, you know, the magic potion's going to run out, and nobody's going to make a trade, or you're not going to be able to, you know, dupe anybody on a trade, and you're going to have to get bad to get good. And so, you know, they gambled with Bynum. Carter Williams and Noel were best friends since the ninth grade.
Yeah.
I think in the long run, it's going to be good. It's going to take a while, but I think it's going to be good.
When you look at the winners and losers of the draft last night, I looked at CBS Sports, and they had winners being New Orleans, the Cavs, and Minnesota, losers being Charlotte, and they got Cody Zeller. I mean, who do you see as a, you know, big loser in the entire draft?
Well, again, Zeller's not bad,
yeah,
you know, but I was surprised. I like Zeller, but again, you know, what'd you win, 15 games last year? I don't know what they won, but they didn't win a whole lot of games. And
Charlotte?
Yeah, I mean, it
was. They went 21-61.
Right, and they've done that for about 4 years in a row. So, I mean, if there's ever a team that's got to look at – but, again, you're saying the same thing that you're saying to Cleveland. You know, again, you know, you're trying to sell tickets. You're trying to make money. You're trying to do things. Oh, we drafted a guy, he's not going to be able to play till All-Star break.
Yeah. You
know? So those things all come into play when you're sitting behind that desk. If your owner says, look, I want to win now. Well, you know, Zeller's a nice piece. You know, everybody says he was rated the most athletic big man in the draft.
Really?
Now Noel couldn't work because he was hurt, but he's an athlete now. He can run. He can jump. He's got a nice mid-range game. You know, you put some pieces around him, he's got a chance to be a good player now.
I heard last night that, and you mentioned it this morning, 35% of players drafted actually stay in the league. And you know the top five or top ten guys most of the time are going to be in the league and stay on a team and be very productive. But what really is, you know, that's a low number, 35% of just two rounds of an NBA draft that stay in the league. I mean, that's kind of startling to me.
Well, you know, it was startling to me too. I mean, I thought it would be higher than that, but you know, it's. I mean, you cannot tell these kids enough times how competitive that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived it for 15 years, and I mean, every year there's 10 or 15 guys coming in who are very good, very young, very hungry that want your spot.
Yeah.
And it's a bottom line business, and if they can help you win and sell tickets, you're out of there. So, I mean, you have got to create value for yourself in some manner, some shape, some form. What happens to a lot of these kids is their whole life they're like, I got to get to the NBA. I got to get to the NBA. I got to get to the NBA. Drafted.
Whew, yeah.
I made it. And that's where the, you know, you hadn't made it. That's the starting line.
Yeah.
You know, that's when now it's as cutthroat a basketball and a business as you've ever been in your life, and they will get rid of you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you got to understand is that you surround yourself with bad people that bring you down, that don't help you, that don't build you up, that don't push you in the right direction. You don't have a work ethic. You don't have some kind of a spirituality or something to where you got a good, strong base to you, to where you can handle the good times, you can handle the bad times. You're not going to be around long, and I think that's what that number reflects.
You know, it's interesting, Joe, because the way you're describing how some of these athletes might react when they feel that they've reached that dream, that's what minor league baseball sort of filters out for some of the baseball
players.
Not all of them, because sometimes the cream really does rise to the top very quickly. But you learn in minor league baseball to be humble, because
no doubt,
riding the buses, as you know,
it's
going to make you humble.
Absolutely.
And playing in smaller cities year after year is going to make you more humble.
Yeah, and I mean, that is a great point. I mean, that's a great point. And, you know, you wish. I think the NBA's done a better job now with their MBDL, because a lot of times, like, teams will, if they've got a first-round draft pick and they've positioned these teams to where they're relatively, like, San Antonio's MBDL team's in Austin, Dallas's team is in Frisco, so they can take their, let's say they got a good team, San Antonio, and you got a rookie, well, instead of having him sit there for all year,
yeah,
you know, get him playing,
get
you
him
know,
going.
And they're running the same systems and things like that, so I think they've taken a little something from baseball, which is good, to help these kids to where they're just not sitting on the bench every night doing fundamental drills before the game. They're actually getting in there and playing. You got to play to get better.
Let's take our first phone call of the day. Steve, he's got a question for Joe. What's up, Steve?
How y'all doing, guys?
Doing well.
Mr. Klein.
Yes, sir.
Overall, Trey Burke.
I think we lost him. I think his cell phone is messing up. Give us a call back, Steve. Your phone's messing up.
Call back, Steve. Hey, Joe, I noticed that there were 8 7-footers in the first round, 3 in the top 10. And I know, you know, a surprise that maybe Len didn't go first. A lot of people thought Len or Noel would go first, but 3 7-footers picked one right after the other. I guess, I mean, it was the return of the big man, I guess, in the draft. Early in the draft, it looked like there were a lot of power forwards, 7-footers that were picked.
Well, you can say what you want about, you know, people playing small, and it's kind of all over the country at every level. You know, people want to play small ball. There's no bigs. We can't. There aren't any bigs. Well, there are bigs out there. Okay, you've got to work them. You got to get them in a system where you run things for them. You got to get them to where they understand the importance of getting up and down the floor, staying involved in the play. But they're out there. If you can motivate them and get, like any player, if you can get them to do play the right way, they're there. I mean, and let me tell you right now, they can make a difference. And Miami couldn't have played this way like they do now when I was in the league, because Bosch would have had to guard Ewing, Mourning,
yeah.
Olajuwon,
that would have been
Shaq.
It would have been a struggle for
you know,
him. Yeah.
And then you'd have some clown like me come rolling in there for like all fired up to get my 15 minutes in and beat him up for a little bit, you know. So, I mean, night in and night out, you couldn't do that. So, in my opinion, you know, I think, and again, what gets Miami every time you hear, how you going to beat Miami? Well, Brooklyn has Lopez. Indiana has Hibbert.
Yeah.
You know, so now all of a sudden it's kind of reverting back to, you know what, a big guy can make a difference.
We're at the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the big blockbuster trade between Boston and Brooklyn. I tell you, that might be one of the biggest trades to go down in some time. We'll talk about that.
It didn't.
Yeah.
We got to get into Rivers v. Simmons, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
Doc Rivers. He goes after Bill Simmons in a nice way, in a classy way. So we'll talk more about that. Also, Dwight Howard, the Lakers aren't at the top of his list right now. We'll talk more about Dwight and where he's possibly headed. It's on The Zone coming up next.